WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Well, with me now is Willie Perryman, who is better known as Piano Red, and he's been playing blues and boogie-woogie since the 1920s when he got his start playing rent parties in Georgia. He was born in 1911, 32 miles south of Atlanta. There were 9 children in his family, including his brother Rufus, who was also a pianist and became known by the name Speckled Red. Piano Red toured the Black Circuit, and in 1950 he recorded his first record under his name. This single, Rockin' with Red, became a gold record. In 1954, he began an 8-year series of live broadcasts at WOAK in Atlanta, where he became known as Dr. Feelgood. In 1959, Columbia Records released his album Dr. Feelgood, which also went gold. In 1974, he made his first European tour, when he was invited to play at the Montreux Jazz Festival. In 79, the Rolling Stones, who say they had listened to his records when they were young, invited him up on stage to perform with them. Piano Red used to perform regularly at Muhlenbrink's Saloon in Atlanta. Beginning tonight, he'll be playing a couple of concerts in Philadelphia. Tonight, he'll perform at J.C. Dobbs on South Street, and that will begin at 10 o'clock. There will also be a set with Michael Catalano. Saturday night, Piano Red will be at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And for any more information about the Godfrey Daniels performance, you can call 867-2390, and I'll have all that information again for you a little later. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing a selection from Piano Red's most recent record. Welcome to Fresh Air. It's really terrific to meet you, and I'm glad you're here. Let me ask you how you started to play.
Well, like I said, I started back when I was a boy, like 15 or 16, just banging around, walking from house to house and playing for parties. And, well, I wasn't doing much playing no way, but it was good for the people to say he sure can play, you know. I just enjoyed going to the parties because that's where everybody was. And that's the way I got started. I didn't have no kind of teaching and nothing like that. I just picked it up.
You played a lot of rent parties in
yeah,
in
well,
the
20s. That's what I was playing when I was going to them house parties. They used to call them Saturday night fish fries, you know, and they charged the people at the door, and we'd go there and play. They'd take everything out the room but the piano, and that's the only place those people had to go at the time.
How much would you pay to get in?
10 cents.
And how was the money used?
How
was the money used to pay the rent?
Huh?
How was the money used that was gathered?
Oh, well, they took the money. I didn't care whether I got no pay or not, you know. I just wanted to play. Well, they might have given me a little something, but they were selling fish, and it was something called white lightning. They were selling that, so they was making money.
You met a lot of people, I'm sure, when you were doing that. Who are some of the people who were part of that circle then who we might know now?
Back in those days, you know, you might have heard tell them, guys like Eddie Haywood and Bessie Smith and all those people, they was touring, going places then. And they would come into a town and they would be at a theater for not just 2 or 3 nights. They'd be there for a week, you know, and people would go see them every night. Well, during that time, that's when we would be playing those house rent parties and things like that, because whenever they would come to town, most all the people, one night or the other, and they'd go to the theater. They had a big theater down in Atlanta called 81 Theater, and people from every direction would come there during that week that they'd be in town, like Butterbean and Susie and Bessie Smith and all those people like that. They had big times. It was just like the people having a big time today because they had somewhere to go.
Before we talk some more, I'd like to play a selection from a recent album. And we're going to hear one of your own songs, and a song that our listeners may know, which is called Right String But the Wrong Yo-Yo. Do you want to tell us about writing this? When did you write it? And
I was going to New York on a 53 to do a session. You had to have four numbers, see? And I had, they called me at the last minute. I was living in Atlanta, and I was on the train coming up. And I didn't have but three, so I was riding the other one on the train. And I looked out the window, and I seen a girl and a boy, and they had a yo-yo and throwing it on the string, you know. And I got my ID from the right string, but the wrong yo-yo. I wrote it there. That was the biggest record I had. Matter of fact, it sold over 2 million records.
Let's hear it from a recent album. The album's called Let Me Play With Your Poodle, and it's on Poodle Records. And this is Piano Red.
Right string, baby, but the wrong yo-yo. Somebody knocking on your door. I passed this morning by the hardware store. I bought a brand new string for my yo-yo. I went on down to the doctor, get the string put on. He turned around, put the string on wrong. No need of knocking on nobody's door. You got the right string, baby, but the wrong yo-yo. Told me, Papa did too. Some of these women gonna be the death of you. You better find out which one you crave, son. Some of these women will take you to your grave. See me coming, put your man outdoors. Ain't no stranger I've been here before. No need of knocking on nobody's door. You got the right string, baby, but the wrong yo-yo. You got the right string, baby, but the wrong yo-yo. Somebody knocking on your door. I passed this morning by the hardware store. Brand new string for my yo-yo. I went on down to the doctor, get the string put on. He turned around, put the string on wrong. No need of knocking on nobody's door. Right string, baby, but the wrong yo-yo.
Piano Red singing one of his best-known songs from an album called Let Me Play With Your Poodle on Poodle Records. And he'll be performing tonight in Philadelphia at J.C. Dobbs on South Street, and performing in Bethlehem Saturday night at Godfrey Daniels. In the 1930s, you knew and performed with Willie McTell, the blind guitarist and singer. How did you get together?
Well, Willie McTell, he was older than I was. He knew my brother, Rufus. Rufus had left out there, and they called him Speckle Red. He was already making records. And so Willie had... He walked around different places with his guitar, and he went around to places like drive-ins and all. So he came through where I lived that one afternoon, and he told me, he said, I know you, Red, but you don't know me. Me and your brother is about the same age. And said, why don't you try making some records? I said, well, I'd be glad to. He said, well, I'll tell you what I do. So I'll get you to write the letter, and we'll write it to this guy that records me in New York. His name is Calloway, and says, we may get you something started. I said, okay, I'll write the letter. I wrote the letter for him, and the man answered him back in a couple of weeks and told him, said that he was going to record him in about 2 weeks. In Augusta, and said he knowed my brother Rufus, because Rufus was doing records for their company. So he said that, tell me to get me some material and come on with him. Said they would send us down to Augusta at a radio station. So we did. We went down to Augusta, and what actually happened is it was hot, real hot, the weather was, and we did the numbers all right, but they was catching them at that time, not on tapes. Great big thick wax, see, and then they'd take it back and take it off that wax some kind of way. But what actually happened, like I said before, is the wax has got warped, so they couldn't use none of the session. So we didn't get to make any records on that trip.
Did you ever record together again?
No, we never did. I got away from Willie. I started playing at a different places, you know, going from town to town often, you know, just no big deals, but just going. And I got away from Willie, and before we got a chance to play again, he passed.
Did people ever take advantage of him because he was blind?
No, not Willie. He was, and he made a lot of money when money was scarce. They liked him. He had an unusual style like me. I got a unique style. I play like nobody. And he would go around those pig and whistles, that place where they sell food and all like that. And all the people were real good to him. He made a lot of money. When we wasn't doing no good at all, he was doing fine.
What were you doing during the Depression? Was it hard for you to make money then?
Well, it was bad, but we didn't need much money to get along, so it didn't bother us too much.
What did you do then? Where did you live? Did you travel a lot?
I didn't travel. I hadn't got, in the spotlight enough. I was around Atlanta and just around different places, like, and playing like in cafes, daytime parties, you know. You could go with place like if they had a piano in a cafe, you go over there and start the playing during the day, and in about 40 minutes, the man had a cafe full of people. So he'd be glad to give you something because they were spending money, you know. So we would do those type of things. But like I said, we didn't make no lot of money because, well, we didn't need much to live, so we got by.
Let's listen to another one of your recordings, and this is also an original. It's called Ain't Gonna Be Your Low-Down Dog No More. Do you want to tell us about writing this one?
Well, I tell you what, lots of people had been doing that no more. I just been here. I don't even know who had started it, you know. But ever since I was a young, like I said, playing at those house parties, I used to sing that song. So I went to make records once, and the guy asked me, says, why don't you make that? Says, I believe it'll be good. And it was. It was a big record. But it had been back for years, you know. You don't never know who started. Like those blues singers and things, they would just start a song, you know, singing and all, and next thing you know, people would latch on to it.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. And this is from a 1977 album, Piano Red.
All right. Well, I ain't gonna be your low down dog. Thank you.
compared to Steve. You know my homie, yeah, I ain't compelled to stay. If you gonna miss me, tell me when I go away. Come on, come on. Certainly gonna miss me, baby, when I'm gone away.
Ain't Gonna Be Your Lowdown Dog, and that's recorded on one of Piano Red's recent albums on the Poodle record label. And, you were telling me that you got credit for it because no one really knew who the writer
was.
That's
right, yes. We put traditional on it, and nobody called for it, so they give it to me.
Do you know of anyone else who that happened to who had their name on a record and then the real writer, someone claimed to be the real writer at some later point?
Well, once in a while, they says, you know. But they won't, they know that I didn't write it, and then they wasn't going to put my name on it until they found out about it anyway, you see.
You were playing on the circuit for several years. I don't know if you ever, did you ever travel through the Theater Owners Booking Association, TOBA? Huh? Did you ever tour through TOBA?
No.
Because the acronym is TOBA, and I know that it had gotten the nickname of Tough on Black Asses, and I was wondering if you knew what they did to deserve that. You wouldn't know. In the 1950s, you worked at a radio station in Atlanta. I think that was in the 50s.
That's right.
How did that come to be?
I was WAOK. The guy who had run the radio station, he used to be a disc jockey himself. And back when I first started making records, his name was Zena Sears. He used to play my records. And finally, they took over a radio station. Well, they got them to run it. Some fellows that own a Coca-Cola company down there, they bought the station and got Zenas them to run it. And he asked me, how would I like to do a show at the station? They put him in charge. I said, what kind of show you want? He said, just be yourself. So I started broadcasting there, and after I broadcasted there for a year, I had a studio in my backyard where I rehearsal at, me and the band, so he had me a radio hookup out there. I didn't have to go to the station. I broadcast from home.
You broadcast from your home?
Yeah, that's right.
Did people call you at home during the broadcast?
Huh?
Would people call you to talk with you at home?
Well, they couldn't get me, see, because I was cut off from them at the time. You know, they would be calling, you know.
How did you get the name Dr. Feelgood, which is the name you became known by on the air?
I wrote that song, Dr. Feelgood. And I'll tell you the way I got it. Broadcasting in the afternoon, I'd tell the people to move in close to the radio. I said, because I'm fixing to change your feeling now. I'm going to make you feel good. I says, all you got to do is concentrate on the music, and I'm going to see to you feeling better when I leave there today. And I got so much mail on the Dr. Feelgood thing, so that's when I wrote the song, Dr. Feelgood.
I don't think we'll be able to hear that in a few minutes. In 1974, I think it was, you toured Europe after performing at the Montreux Jazz Festival. I bet a lot of people in England and some of the other European countries had all of your records, did they?
They do. They know more about my records over there than the people here in the States. they got a ball. They stay up to date on those things.
Were you surprised, or did you know that?
I was when I first went over there. But since I started going over there, I go over there twice a year and sometime for as much as 42 days, changing towns every day. So it's just like a superstar over there, those people. They line up to listen to this stuff.
How did you meet the Rolling Stones and perform with them?
I met him at the Montreux Jazz Festival. That was Bill Wyman. He was there. They wasn't playing, but he had came over there to see me. He said they had all my records that I'd been making, and he came over there especially, and he asked me could he play bass with me that night. I told him, sure can. And after that, we were good friends. Whenever they would come to Atlanta or something or come in, I could always do a number with them, and they would always go to the hotels on some names, but they would call me and let me know what name they was on. I'd go by to see them.
They listened, I think, to your records when they were young in England. Did you pay much attention to rock and roll? Did you listen to it or play it on your radio show?
On the radio show? Which day record?
When rock and roll started being played, did you listen to it or play the records?
Well, I tell you what. They said rock and roll. That's nothing but blues and rhythm, you know. That's all it is. We call it blues and rhythm. That's what I am, a blues and rhythm player. I can play blues because I started off playing those house dances, and we had to play slow music because it'd be so many people they couldn't dance, no way, see. So we'd play somewhere they could drag by. But they got that new name out sometime in the 50s about rock and roll. And it's just blues and rhythm. It's nothing. It's an up-tempered. If it's an up-tempered song, then it's rhythm. And if it's slow, it's blues.
Do you think a lot of other blues or rock performers had listened to your records like the Rolling Stones did and had picked up on some of the rhythms?
They probably have. I mean, you know, the Rolling Stones, after they picked up on different things there a while, they acted smart. They went into their own style, and you know this type of stuff they're doing now, you see, it's really different. See?
Do you like it?
Yeah, well, because it is different, you know. And if they had stayed in that same vein, you know, they would have fell behind anyway. They were smart enough to know that.
How have your audiences changed?
I tell you what, I plays at a lot of different places. Now, I plays the whole year round when I want to play. Only time I'll be off is when I want to, and I want to take a vacation or something. I'll go in a lot of different places. It's just like the youngsters. What it is, I puts on a show, and then it's amazing to them. They say, Red, we don't know what you're doing, but we like it, you know, because of my song. It's different, see. So they likes it anyway. And I've had several kids to come in from outside of these places, and they tell me, Red, play some blues, you know. The kids are began to go back into the blues vein. I mean youngsters. They are asking for blues, you know. And like they say, they know that I do something different. They say, we don't know what you're doing, but we like it, you know. I played at a place called The Mill over there in Atlanta for about 3 years after Muhlenbrink closed. And I had a regular crew of kids that came in there every weekend or something, especially to listen to Red, you know. They'd have their own corner. It was a big place anyway. And they enjoyed it, you know. Young kids.
What will you be playing to tonight and Saturday night? Some of the songs we've been listening to?
I'll be playing that same stuff you're listening to now. Yeah. I've been playing that same stuff ever since I was playing house dances. And it still goes over good.
Sure does.
See?
I want to thank you very much for talking with us. I've really enjoyed it, and I enjoy your music. And
I enjoy talking
to you. It's a great pleasure
to
meet you. Thank you for being here.
It's been great.
Piano Red has been my guest, and he'll be playing, if you'd like to hear him, tonight at J.C. Dobbs on South Street. He's from Georgia, and he doesn't get up here very frequently, so this is a kind of rare chance to hear him in Philadelphia. So that's tonight at J.C. Dobbs on South Street, and there will also be a set by Michael Catalano. Saturday night, Piano Red will be at Godfrey Daniels. That's in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And if you want to go and will need directions to get out there, you can call Godfrey Daniels at 867-2390. That's 867-2390. Let's listen to another selection from the album that we opened with, the Montreux album featuring Piano Red. And we'll hear Corrine Corina.
Stay last night. Oh, Corina, why you stay last night? Come in this morning, sun was shining bright. Home, Corina, want you to come on home. Ain't slept a night since you've been gone. That's all right, Corina, that's all right. Come on over, let's make it all right. Been so long. Ooh, Corina, why you been so long? I've been worried ever since you've been gone. You to come on home. Ain't slept a night since you've been gone.
Piano Red from an album on the Black Lion record. The album's called Ain't Gonna Be Your Lowdown Dog No More. And again, Piano Red performs tonight at J.C. Dobbs on South Street with a set by Michael Catalano, and Saturday night at Godfrey Daniels in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And for information about directions or whatever, you can call them at 867-2390.